Welcome to the Big Fat Farm Show on KSJD, where we talk about anything farm, fresh, and food-related. My name is Sarah Severson. I'll be your host this morning. Today, we have in the studio with us Dr. Lynn Patrick, talking about Red Arrow Mines operation in Mancos, Colorado. Welcome to the show, Lynn.
Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning. So, pretty serious topic this morning. Can you give us an overview of what's happening at the Red Arrow mining site in Mancos?
Sure. Last night, the representatives who were involved in the emergency response operation from the Colorado Division of Reclamation Mining and Safety were at the Mancos Town Hall to talk to the people of Mancos. There were also some government officials present about their findings and to answer questions. So the short version of the story is that this June 18th, the Division of Reclamation, Mining, and Safety issued a cease and desist for both the mine, which is northeast of Mancos, and for the milling site, which is right at the western edge of the town of Mancos, as a result of their findings of high levels of arsenic and mercury in at both the mine and at the illegal milling operation that's located on Grand Street in Mancos. What the Division of Reclamation, Mining, and Safety found, as they reported last night, were elevated levels of mercury and arsenic both in the tailings piles outside the buildings right at the edge of town and at the mine itself. The highest levels of mercury were found inside one of the buildings, which was an actual operation. The process of removing gold from ore involves adding liquid mercury, like the mercury that you find in your used to find in your thermometers. They're trying to get liquid mercury out of thermometers now, and amalgamating that with the ore, so processing it, and the mercury actually kind of attaches to the gold, pulls it out of the ore. Then the whole combination is reheated so that the mercury gases off of the gold, and the gold is left. Unfortunately, because this was not only an illegal operation, but was operating in violation of all of the safety regulations that exist for using mercury, a lot of that mercury was vented as a vapor, you know, airborne, outside of the building and into the air. And that appears to be one of the concerns that some of the citizens who spoke last night had, is what are the past exposures that have happened. We don't know exactly when Red Arrow started the milling process because nobody knew about it. It was illegal. The Board of Mining didn't have any record of that facility even existing. So it could have been somewhere around last summer to last fall, most probably in October, and they were given a cease and desist order this June 18th. So that's the approximate time that we think that the milling operation was actually operating.
Well, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Big Fat Farm Show on KSJD. Today we have in the studio with us Dr. Lynn Patrick talking about the Red Arrow Mines operation in Mancos that was just shut down. So, Lynn, you said mercury and arsenic were the two main toxic chemicals?
Yeah, they were not the only ones. There was evidence of cyanide and solvents, which are found in petroleum. There were some barrels of used oil on site that were high in those solvents, but petroleum's naturally high in benzene and other solvents like that. So that wasn't considered contamination. The mercury that is still in one of the tailings piles outside the building is about 300 times over the allowable limit that the Colorado Division of Reclamation, Mining, and Safety has set, and arsenic about 700 times over the allowable limit as well.
Was there also a farm? There was an article in the newspaper that talked about a farm that had some contamination as well.
Yeah, there are two off-site areas. One is the Excelsior Mill across the street. And the other is the Dana Farm, which borders that property to the west, where there are tailings piles. There weren't tailings piles, but there were piles that were used as fill both on the Excelsior property and on the farm. One of the things the Colorado Division of Reclamation, Mining, and Safety said last night is that they have cordoned them off, but they haven't covered them. So they're exposed, and I think one of the discussions that the citizens that were there last night wanted to have is, what are the actual hazards of those exposed fill areas to the population? It isn't really the purview of the Colorado Division of Reclamation, Mining, and Safety to go into that. You know, they basically just reported. They're not the EPA. They just reported on their findings, you know, their assessment of how much metals are in the piles. The EPA was not present at the meeting, even though the town had invited them, and they were expected to be there because they'd been called back as a result of the federal government shutdown today. However, we were told that they are coming back to look further into this and to do more testing. There was a discussion between the townspeople that were there and the town board and the Reclamation, Mining, and Safety people about when this what the cleanup is going to be and when it's going to happen. And there were several proposed solutions. Because the Red Arrow Mine has gone into receivership, there's no responsible party. Usually in these situations, what the EPA does is they find the responsible party, who's the polluter, and then they fine the responsible party, meaning they award damages and say, you are responsible for, you know, $3 million worth of cleanup, and we need you to do this within the next so many months, but there is no responsible party.
Because of the bankruptcy of Red Arrow Mines?
Correct. Mm-hmm. So this is a very special and very concerning situation because there's nowhere for the money to come from. So whether or not we'll actually be designated a Superfund site, which would otherwise happen, is in question, and who will pay for the cleanup is in question as well.
Let's talk a little bit about the effects of the possible effects in terms of mercury, arsenic, the solvents, and you said cyanide as well.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of agricultural primarily, and then let's talk about just the communities that are involved.
Okay.
As well. So agricultural first.
So the form that these metals are in really decides where they'll go, how they'll go there, and who they'll affect. So mercury is found in three different forms. The form that we commonly know as thermometer mercury, elemental mercury, that's also amalgams that people get put into their teeth as fillings. This form of mercury, liquid mercury, vaporizes, so it becomes airborne. That happens in people's mouths. It also happens if you break a thermometer. You know, that mercury will go into the air and you can breathe it in. So the mercury that's been found at the site in the tailings piles is not in that form. It's called inorganic mercury. Inorganic mercury is used in commerce. It's illegally added into skin lightening creams that come from outside of the United States. It's illegal to do that in the United States. And it is found in some commercial products in very low amounts in soaps and cleansing products and things like that. It is toxic. It causes kidney damage. There's nothing safe about inorganic mercury, but it's not found in the air. So the only way to get it into a plant that you're growing or into your body would be to drink it in water. It's not very well absorbed in the intestinal tract. It is absorbed through the skin. You know, that's how women who use skin lightening creams get into big trouble health-wise as they apply it to their skin. But it is absorbed through the gut, and so could be absorbed theoretically from plants. But it is right now in those tailings piles. There was a discussion about the potential for contamination of water if there was a flood. Or there was some runoff, and that's really not, again, the purview of the Reclamation, Mining, and Safety people. They couldn't address that.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more on the Red Arrow mining site in Mancos and the Big Fat Farm Show on KSJD. We're We're back with more of the Big Fat Farm Show on KSJD. This morning we're talking with Dr. Lynn Patrick about the Red Arrow mining operation in Mancos, Colorado. So Lynn, before we took the break, we were talking about mercury in two different forms, and you said most of the mercury in the tailing pile was inorganic. I'm actually curious too, you had mentioned that there was vaporized mercury that was probably happening while the operation was going on,
yes,
going into the air. So how does that affect agriculture and the community that's around it?
Well, we know that that vaporous mercury can be airborne very easily. It is in a vapor form, and so it can move depending on the wind speed and the amount of wind and the direction of the wind. And we did have some pretty bad winds this spring. So there is the possibility that that mercury did move quite a bit. We know that the mercury that comes out of the smokestacks at the Four Corners Power Plant and the Navajo Power Plant can move 150 miles easily, that's been traced. But we don't have any information about how much mercury actually came out of that building and how far it moved, because we didn't even know. Nobody knew it was even happening.
Can that be done through, can you take blood samples from animals, from humans, and see what the mercury levels are?
We, for this specific instance, urine mercury is probably more appropriate. The half-life, meaning the amount of time it takes for half of mercury to disappear, of this particular form is about 90 days. So, but it does show up in the urine. And so it is possible. There was a lot of discussion last night with some of the government representatives that were there about doing a public health assessment of the population that was potentially, that has been potentially exposed. What we don't know is how much of the mercury in the building is still in the vaporous form. As far as the CDRMS, you know, the mining and safety people that were there, they didn't speciate the mercury. That's kind of an expensive proposition.
What does that mean, to speciate?
To speciate means what kind of mercury is it? Is it in the vapor form? Is it the inorganic form?
Will they be doing those tests?
Is it the organic form? Yeah. We don't know, because there wasn't an EPA representative there. We just don't have that information. And I think that's probably really was a little too technical and not appropriate for a meeting with the townspeople. But from a health perspective, we need to know all of that. You know, we need to really understand the form that the mercury was in to know. Inorganic mercury sitting in a tailings pile until it gets into the water, it's probably not, you know, nobody's going to be exposed to it.
But how would it get into the water if it's sitting in a tailings pile?
Well, as we have learned from our neighbors to the north, who have had floods of biblical proportions, and that's where a lot of the EPA reps went to, actually, we don't have control over the weather. And not that we ever did, but we have less and less control over the weather. So a lot of rain, or maybe a lot of snow and snow melt with some force could allow those tailings piles to leave. And there's a ditch right in front of the building where water flows, and could, it's very easy for soil to move. Water moves a lot of soil. And so rain would do that. Rain would move that soil off the property.
Is this something that they're trying to address before winter hits?
Right now, as it sits, and this was mentioned, this was vocalized by the people from the Reclamation Mining and Safety Division, they will get back to the town within 2 weeks with more information about what the plan is. Right now, there is no plan for any movement of those tailings piles, except for remediation of the pile on the Dana property, that's the farm immediately to the west of the Excelsior plant, and the fill that was used at the Excelsior plant. Total, it appears to be about 45 tons of soil.
Wow, that's a tiny little pile.
Yeah, that's off-site, on-site, and at the mine. So it's a lot of soil. It's going to cost a lot of money to remediate this, what would otherwise be a Superfund site if the money was there.
If you're just tuned in, you're listening to the Big Fat Farm Show on KSJD. We're talking with Dr. Lynn Patrick about the Red Arrow mining operation that's just been shut down, and some reclamation projects around that in Mancos. So let's talk a little bit about arsenic, because that was also found on site.
Right. So the arsenic comes from the earth. arsenic is naturally found in the earth. It's found all over the world in the earth. And one of the problems right now is that because we're running out of water, we're digging mile-deep tube wells to get into that the earth where that water is, and up with the water comes arsenic. So we have areas like Bangladesh, in India, and in Taiwan where people are getting pretty severe arsenic poisoning from the water. Here,
what occurs when you get severe arsenic poisoning? What does that look
like? Well, arsenic's a carcinogen. It causes cancer, bladder cancer specifically. It also causes a lot of skin problems, skin cancer as well, and lung cancer. And it causes gastrointestinal inflammation, like inflammatory bowel disease.
So just
type
a few things that it causes.
Gut bleeding, inflammation, things like that. But that's in the water where it's found in very high amounts. You know, we don't have that here in the United States like we do in other parts of the world. But the arsenic comes up with the mining ore. So it's in the mining ore. It's found there. It's not used to get the gold out of the dirt. So it's when we bring ore out of the earth, it will contain arsenic. But it contains arsenic in very high levels. And as is reported in the Division of Reclamation, Mining, and Safety's report, up to about 700 times the allowable limit of surface dirt, arsenic, is now found in those tailings piles. So if the arsenic gets into the water, and then
it's water-soluble?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and gets into the drinking water, which is not very likely, because our drinking water comes from a completely different source. It doesn't come from wells. People who have private wells may be at risk if arsenic gets into the groundwater. So it's not going to be airborne. You know, there's nothing in that system of amalgamation of the gold that would make that arsenic airborne. It's mostly in the tailings piles, and the risk would be, of course, with flooding or a lot of storms, that arsenic could leave the site and get into the groundwater.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What are some positive steps that communities, people, citizens can take in terms of getting informed about what's happening, taking action steps to make sure it's cleaned up properly and people's health and well-being are checked?
Well, I think that's a huge question right now. People certainly have the ability to get their urine mercury and arsenic levels checked. Most healthcare providers don't really know very much about the Red Arrow Mine, and so it might not be, you know, they might not be motivated to do that. But certainly there will be further meetings with the Town of Mancos and the EPA and the Division of Reclamation, Mining, and Safety. And all these reports are on the Town of Mancos website, so people can easily download them and read them. There will be, I think that the positive, if there are positive things that are going to come out of this, one of them will be that the citizens of Mancos are going to be motivated to initiate some kind of public health assessment that will actually look at exposure and will give people positive steps they can take.
Great.
So I think that will be forthcoming.
Great. Thank you so much, Dr. Patrick, for your time today.
And you're welcome.
Send people to the Town of Mancos site if they want more information. I think there'll be something on Pandora's Box in the future.
Probably next week, actually. Yes.
Next week.
We'll talk about it next week at this time. Yeah.
Next Tuesday morning at 8:30, there'll be more information on the Red Arrow mining site operation and health effects. You're listening to the Big Fat Farm Show on KSJD. Tune in 2 weeks show at 8:30 a.m. for the next edition, where we will be talking with Dan Vitti and Marissa Kleinsmith about the addition of local fresh foods at Southwest Memorial Hospital. I'm Sarah Severson, your host, signing off saying, friend a farmer this week. Thanks for listening and have a great day.